All right, the great Rick Johnson at Unadilla.
The great. Wow.
First of all, this place is cool for you. It's got some great memories. You won some USGPs here. You, 89, when after your wrist, you come here, you win. Everybody is like, RJ's motherfucking back. Right. You debut the zebra gear here. Unadilla has some good memories for you.
Yeah, Unadilla was always a crazy place, and it's just like, it's so civilized now.
Oh, Destinations? I forgot about Destinations.
Yeah, Destinations. Yeah, that thing, you know. We got to see the president that, but
it is civilized.
It is so civilized. Now, look, the people park, like, in straight lines over there. Like, that was so crazy. Fires and dynamite and fist fights and craziness. Yeah. But this is the place that – this Unadilla will always be special for me because I always it was such an iconic place as a California kid. You know, looking at the Cycle News and MXA and all the different stuff of the Trans Ams that came here. Mm-hmm. You know, and that's when the Europeans came over. And they didn't have Nationals at the time. And then they started doing GPs. Yeah. And then I got to come over here and do GP. And I got my ass just killed, got smoked. And well, I know it was the Trans Am that I did in 81.
Okay.
And
grass up to your knees to go out.
No, grass up your knees. You had green on your knuckles because you're riding around. And the crazy part is grass all goes the same level.
Yeah.
So it levels out. But that back hill, those bumps were like 3 feet deep. So you'd be going, your wheels would go drop in, then smack you in the face and back and forth. So it was always nuts. But as you said, I had some great days here, you know, winning the GP after having my wrist injuries. I think I was the only one that year to beat Bale.
Yeah.
So I was really proud of that. And then, obviously, winning MX Nations. And then in 90, my last national win was here. I went back and forth.
500s.
Yeah, 500s. So Stan and I went back and forth. I won Moto 2, and this was the last win for me.
So when was the last time you were here?
1990.
Was it really?
Yes, that was it.
And so, but okay, outside of people not, you know, getting raped and set on fire.
Exactly.
What'd you think of the track and all that?
I thought they did a great job with the track, and I think they predicted the rain. Yeah. You know, I was talking to the Robinson family, and I said, you guys did a good job. You kept it packed down. I'm a racer, so I think when you have mud and you have a situation where the rain is going, I think you're better off to go clean some of the corners, do this, because we're going to get more racing and we're going to get rid of the slop that's off to the side and stuff like that. But it was a very much a man's man. I think in the second 450 race, two guys were attacking, only Marvin and Eli, and everybody else was just very tentative and very sketchy, and I think they were hanging on to the first moto conditions because it was really slippery, and then the edges would get you. So you never really get a chance to settle in like you would in most of the time. But, I think it was a great show. I think they did a good job, the layout and everything. Yeah. It is civilized, but it needs something. motocross and supercross need something. And I have my little things that I would like to see, but I'm not really in the game, so you're the only one that listens to me.
I will listen to you. Puerto Rico, what is going on here? The team is named. You are manager or something. What is going on here?
Honestly, it's pretty cool. It has been a 5-month process. Okay. And so Travis called me and he and Ronnie and I talked, and we were first talking to Kevin Windham about it. Mm-hmm. And he says, if I can't get on a 500, I'm not going to do it. And then we had Villopoto in line to do it.
Yeah.
And then Ryan just for some reason didn't want to do it. And so we talked to Ryan Sipes. Mm-hmm. And Ryan's a country boy.
Yep.
Sure.
Yep.
Yeah, why not? Sounds fun. And so the idea is, the main thing that we want to do is we're going to film a documentary/mockumentary, you know.
Yep.
And but we also want to raise money for Puerto Rico for the hurricane.
Yep.
I mean, they still don't have stoplights. They still have rolling blackouts.
It's still kind of bad, right?
It's terrible. So what we want to do is go, hey, we can't come in here and fix the country. But you know what? If I was a kid and my track was smoked, so we're going to go try to find some tracks that we can rebuild.
Cool.
Send Hubert down there, rebuild the tracks, do some stuff, try to give back to the community. If we can raise enough money through all of this to buy a tractor or do this or do that, we're going to do whatever we can. Majority of the profit is going to go. And ironically, I almost started crying. This guy comes up to me and he says, what are you doing about this? I said, we're doing. He has me $40.
Oh, nice.
And then he goes, can I ask, by the way, who are you? And I go, Ricky Johnson. And he goes, holy shit, you're Ricky Johnson. So I'm like, that's pretty cool. You gave me $40 and I was just some schmuck in a Puerto Rico shirt. but it's something to have fun. The sport needs to lighten up. It's just so
very serious. It is. Yeah.
we're racing dirt bikes, man. You know what I mean? This
sound is like me on a Monday night when I'm talking about it.
Exactly. But you know what? And it's, yes, the guys train hard. Yes, the factories spend a lot of money, do all the different stuff. But this is just an expensive version of, hey, Steve, I'm going to meet you on the corner, and we're going to race around the whatever trees or the bushes. Same thing, you know, and may the fastest guy win. So it's got to, I don't want to see it get too sterile, because our sports doesn't need to be that. It needs to have the contact. It does need to be hurting people and cross-jumping. I mean, there's lines that need to be, that you need to set. But we got to bring back, we got to have that grittiness.
I think I'm going to hang out at Puerto Rico all day with you, Ronnie Mack, Pastrana, and Sipes. That'll be awesome.
Well, it's going to be a blast. And honestly, I've with Gabby, who runs the Puerto Rican Federation down there, I said, I'll be honest with you, I'd like this to be a long-term relationship. And for me, you know, I did a little history, and a lot of people don't understand the relationship between Puerto Rico and America. Well, if you go back, you know, they got Puerto Rico after they fought with the Spaniards, and they got it. Well, then America didn't do anything with it. And in 1917, when they needed fighters, they gave them citizenship so they could fight in World War One.
I did not know this.
No, neither did I. And so 101 years ago, they let Puerto Ricans come, and they called them immunes because they were fighting in jungles in World War One, and they were in the, like, the white guy couldn't handle it. So they said, these guys can handle the stuff, so we'll sign them up. They can fight for us and that. So I think it's great for American kids. And Travis's grandpa was Puerto Rican, so he's mostly Puerto Rican.
Awesome, man. I think this is cool. Thanks for doing this, RJ, and good luck.
Awesome. See you.
Thanks.